Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. And so yesterday, let's just review, we had one very fundamental issue and one particular issue that was still in the middle. And the fundamental issue that we had yesterday was this amazing new idea of mitoch. And as we mentioned yesterday, that mitoch was basically a major machlokas about how do we come out? How broad is this mitoch? That all of the malachas that are necessary for tzorach ochel nefesh are also mutter, even if they're not for tzorach ochel nefesh. But the question is, how far does that go? So we had a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, and in fact, most of the Rishonim would agree that if, not with Rashi, but with Tosfos, that only if there would be some level of benefit that you're deriving on Yontev, would it be mutter to do this. But if there's no benefit whatsoever, then it's not included in Ochel Nefesh. So what they're doing is not defining the classes of malachas as much as they're expanding the idea of what Ochel Nefesh is. So what we have over there is basically anything that would be shalolat tzorach at all remains with its original iser. Now that's how Tosfos understands it. That's the way, so this is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach, this is Rabbeinu Hanano, the Rajba learns like this, the Ramban learns like this, the Rush learns like this, the Ritva learns like this. It's not clear 100% how the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, but the Ramah certainly says that it has to be with some kind of tzarech. But there's the other approach that is Rashi's approach, and which is that the whole class of malachas, which is essentially for tzarech ochel nefesh, is not usur, period. It's not only because we're expanding the tzarech ochel nefesh, it's simply not usur at all. And therefore, there are only certain things, and there's a little bit of a sub-machlokas in there. According to Rashi, Hotza'ah, this even the Rabbanim, and according to Rashi, Hotza'ah is usur only when it concerns Muktzah. So says Rashi, so hold many of the Rishonim, that that's what the Rif holds. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands what the Rambam says. Some learn that actually, according to the Rif, and the Rambam, there's a general machlokas. Some of the Achronim understand it this way, that there is a general machlokas, and that the general gzera, I mean, according to Rif and Rambam, that it's not just a question of mukta, but that even though midiraisa, mitoch is mater even for no reason whatsoever, the Rabbanan asserd if there was no reason. So then it becomes a malacha de Rabbanan. However, just to clarify, everybody would agree that something that is not letzorach yontev at all. So let's say you're doing something for the tzorach of an animal, or you're doing something for the tzorach of tomorrow, or you're doing something for the tzorach of a goy. In all of those cases, the iser d'oraisa remains the way that it was. That is still going to be usur midiraisa. It turns out that the issue over here is just in the one area between doing something which you find is necessary for you, for Yontev, and just doing something stam, which has no necessity for you. You just happen to have something in your pocket, you're going to take it out for no reason because you're too lazy to remove it from your pocket. That type of area, which is a very limited question, is the only place where we actually end up having a halacha l'maisa difference between the shitas. Is that an iser d'oraisa? Is that an iser d'rabbanan? Is that not an iser at all? So these are the things to take into consideration, and these are nogea. Even halacha l'maisa today, as I said, there's still questions. What exactly is the das of the Shulchan Aruch? We know that the Rama is certainly machmir. Again, the questions of d'oraisa and d'rabbanan try to make sure that what it is that are these, which we'll be getting to, the definition of which malachas exactly are we talking about. They are only the malachas that would not be doable from yesterday, are needed to do today in order for tzorach ochel nefesh. And so we'll talk about all of those things as we develop the issue. That was the first thing we discussed yesterday. The second thing that we talked about yesterday took us into a more esoteric question. And that was legabe the dinim of food preparation when it comes to trumas, maisras, matanes, lekoyim, mizrael, lechayim, v'keiva, And when you're baking bread, the shaila of the challah, and the way that the Mishnah spoke about it was about Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, in terms of whether you can bring it to the Kohen or not. And that ended up being a discussion between them, according to most of the Pshatim that we had three different approaches to the Mishnah, but the gears that we had in the Mishnah, the discussion revolved around whether the Rabbanan ossered the handling of even the Matanais and Challah, which you need to take off on Yantif, because of the fact that, of course, you can take them off, but you don't give them to the Kohen, because of the fact that we have this overall Takana Lagabe Truma, and we cannot differentiate, because people are not going to differentiate between Truma, which anyway you could have done yesterday, and Maestras, you could have done yesterday, and the things that you could only do today because you only shechted the animal today, so you only could give the Matanis today, or you only made the Challah today, which is why you could only give the Challah. So the last thing that we had learned, which got us into today's discussion, was the question of whether is there in fact a case where you would be chayav truma only today. And the reason that we got into that is because we brought up a case, and that's why we brought up the case, is to force us to confront this issue. We brought up a case where one of the Balabatim brought a question about whether he was allowed to actually rub, that's called melilot, to rub grains, fresh grains, and to eat them on Yantav, and Rava says you could do that. So the Gemara asked the question yesterday on Yantav, but if Rava says you could do that, then that would mean that all of a sudden we do have a case that on Yantav you would have to take off Truma, because before you did the melilot, this was not considered to be edible complete grain yet, and therefore it's not chayav in Truma. But now, if we're going to allow you to do it on Yantav, that means suddenly you have something which you cannot eat until you'll take off Truma and Maestras. But then that means that there are cases where you do take off Truma and Maestras on Yantav. That was the very last thing that we learned. I hope this puts everything now into perspective. This brings us up to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which is where we were. And we answered that there are two different shitas, and it's not necessarily a question that is problematic, because there are two different approaches, one of Rebbe and one of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, about whether, even if you would be molel melilos v'heter gomer and so on Yantav, are melilos considered to be chayef in trumas and meiser? Now this revolves around the question of the Torah calling the dinim of trumas and meiser, they revolve around dagan tirosh v'yitzar. And the question is, what is dagan? Now normally the word dagan refers to a granary where things have been processed normally, which means that you took your grain, you put it through disha. So first of all, you did some process walking over it by animals, whatever it is. You did some process to loosen the chaff from the actual grain, and then you winnowed it, which is called zoreh. And then you were meruach. Meruach is after putting it in a pile of the raw grain, but then you smoothed it out, and now you have the way that it's normally processed. And that's called dagan. So now the question is, obviously, if you're bringing in these grains and you're just doing melila on Yantav, you did not do digun. There never was a time when you gathered your grain and did the whole disha and you made a pile or nothing like that. So the question is there a subcategory of trumas and maaseres on grains that are processed in an unusual way, if that is the way that you intend to use them? That's the question. And that would make a big difference, because if you hold that dagan and only pure dagan is chayav, so then even though Rava said you're allowed to go ahead and be molel melilot, but that wouldn't be mechayav you in taking off trumas and maaseres, because it still wouldn't be called dagan. And therefore, there's no problem against Rava from the Mishnah, because it's still true. There's never a time that you need to take off Truma on Yantav. Okay, that's where we got up to. And we're on the first line of Amud Beis, which is basically, I told you this now, Baal Peh. Now we're at the Ditanya. We're up to the place where the Gemara is going to bring a raya that there really is such a machlokas. And here's the machlokas. Ditanya. Let's say you bring in these grains and you had intended to go ahead, la'asot mehem isa, and you didn't do the whole thing before. Before you did this, you bring it into your house. So then, ocha mehem arai, and your punter, you're allowed to snack on it. even though it's in the house already, and it's potter from taking off truma, because the truth is, minyaraisa, you can just eat it normally. The Rabbanon were gozer to say only if you do it on an achilas arai. But if you're koveya suda in it, then it would be usher even in this state. But what about if you brought them into the house only to eat them raw? And how would you do that? You would be molel mililot. So you're not going to make a natural bread from them. You're just going to eat them sort of a little bit at a time. You're going to rub them on your between your finger and your palm, and that way you're going to rub off the chaff. So that's not real disha, and that's not really being zora, and that's not making a kri for sure. So over there, Rebbe is mechayev. Oh, so Rebbe holds that if the din of digun is correct, it's true, but it applies only where that is your kavana, that you want to eat your grain as normal grain. But if this is your intention, you want to eat it, bedavka, as just raw grain, then that's the last stage. And the Torah is always mechayev you, the gemar malach, according to your das. Therefore, according to Rebbe, this would be the gemar malach, the melila is the gemar malach. So it's true that if the Mishnah were going aliba to Rebbe, and it would still claim that there is no way to be chayav on truma, then it would be a raya against Rava, because it would mean you cannot be molo melilot. However, the Mishnah was not going like Rebbe, it was going according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda potters, because Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says it's either dagon or bust. You can't go according to an intent and say, I have a different way of viewing grain. So therefore, according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, there never is a case where truma would need to be taken off on Yontif. And that's why Beit Shammai said, Beis Hillel said, how are you comparing truma, Gzeirah Shavah, play on words, how are you comparing truma to the Matanah or Techala? There's never a time to chayev truma. And that would explain the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi. I just want to tell you that this is Rashi's approach. Tosis has the exact opposite approach, but because our sugya is not for us fundamentally here, we're not learning about the dinam of trumas and misers and so on, we're still trying to focus on beitza, we can make do perfectly well with Rashi's pshat, and I think we should, and continue. Ask the Gemara. However, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there could be a case. According to Tosfos, this would have to be changed to read, even according to Rebbe, you could find such a case. Okay, but again, we're going to continue with Rashi. So our Girsas would be perfectly good. You're telling me that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we don't have a problem of ever being able to identify a case in which you can actually take off Chayev to take off Truma on Yontev, but that's not true. Because even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, truth is, the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Let me talk to you about a different case. Remember that the halacha over here was referring to bringing in these grains in order to chew on them, right? I'm sure all of you as kids walked through grain fields, picked the grain, and, you know, ate them. It's a lot of fun. That is melilas. But what about if you brought in these grains in order to make an actual little bread with? So you were going to... Originally, you were going to eat them the way they normally would be, brought them into the bias, and then you changed your mind, and you decided that, no, actually, you want to make melilas, right? So then, when did they become tevel? Even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because over here, your original intent to bring them in means that they were roe pnei abayit, and it was going to be chayev and meiser the minute that you've completed the work. But now you are completing the work. So therefore, this is the final stage of your use. So therefore, the original bringing him in the bias in these circumstances should be chayav even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So you're not really helping anything, because this is a problem on anybody. But forget about just Rava. There is a case where Beit Shammai could have told Beit Hillel, what do you mean? There's certainly cases where you're chayav on truma on yontev, and nonetheless, Rabban and Asr bringing it to the Kohen. Okay. So why is it the same thing with the Matanah? I said with the Chala, he didn't say that. So why didn't he say that? Well, says the Gemara, he didn't mean there's never a case. I mean, that you said that's what he meant. He meant 99% of the time, you don't take off truma. That's all he meant to say. So he was talking about Rove Truma. He wasn't talking about, I'll never find a case in the whole world. So stop looking around and trying to figure out, well, what about this and what about that? Forget it. There may be lots of cases, but it's still only going to be a small proportion of the cases. Ela, my truma, when Beit Shammai was arguing, but still, when they said truma, you're not zakai, it meant normally, 99% of the time, there's no ever reshus for a person to take off truma on Yantav. It should have been done before Yantav. Now, let's just get a little bit clearer about the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because Abaye says, by the way, when you're talking about Digun, remember Dagon is the idea of the Diorais, or L'chaim, Rabbanea, whatever. And while you weren't here, we mentioned that Rav Kaplan indeed contacted me and mentioned that he's making a collection of water bottles, a collection of tzedakah for Yom Kippur and for Sukkah. I decided that I should remind you, because that way we'll remember at the end to discuss it again. Chaim again. So, how about in things that are not really dugan? How about in things that are kidneyot? There are different types of beans, or peas, or legumes in general. And over there, says Abaye, hold on a minute, let me tell you something. The whole machlokes of Rebbe Rebbe Yehuda about requiring a pile that was done normally with disha, that's talking about grains. But when you're talking about the mitzvah to Rabbana of taking off trumas ha'maisers from kidneyot, divrei hakol is raita tavla. You know what makes them tevel? Not kriz. You don't make kriz of normal kidneyot. You bundle them up, basically. So you got a package of beans, you know, or a package of peas, or fenugreek, whatever. But that is when they become, even according to Rebbe, once you put them into the package, now they're packaged, that's the sign of the conclusion of your usage. And even though Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda holds, normally you require real digun, and it needs to be this pile of grain, which is the way we normally deal with grains, it's not the normal way that we deal with kidneyot, and therefore the Rabbanan, certainly if they're going to be mechayev you trumas ha'maisers on kidneyot, it's going to be according to the standard usage. And so what's the sign of kidneyot that are ready to be used? Packaging. Very simple. That's called asuraita. Packaging. So lema misayele, it seems that the Mishnah in trumas is actually a raya to what Abaye just said. Because it says over there, Misha Yulukhavila Tilton Shel Tevel, Hareza Kotesh, Umchashev Kamazera Yeshbe, Umafrish. Now it says over there that if you've got packages, but when it says packages, it means just they're tied together. Could be sometimes in a package, sometimes they're just tied on the outside. So if you have, maybe it's better to call it a bundle instead of a package to avoid the implications wrapped in plastic or anything. So you have a bundle of a Tilton. Rashi always says Tilton is fenugreek. So I'm assuming that that's fenugreek, and that were tevel. So then you should not worry about taking off trumas ha'maisers from the whole thing, because there's something unique about fenugreek that's important to recognize that implies things about our sugya. And that is that fenugreek is one of the few things that the Gemara says that tam etso v'piryo shove. So the fenugreek, the pod actual seeds tastes like the seed. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan were not mechayev you to take off trumas ha'maisers on the wood-like pod. It's only mechayev you to take off from the actual seeds. So therefore, if you have a bundle of this stuff, so first of all, open them up by banging on them. So kotesh, take a mortar, a hammer, and that way you can figure, okay, how much of this, like what percentage of this were seeds, you know? So, okay, I figure in terms of the chiyuv, let's say 20%, I'm going to figure, was seeds. Off of that 20%, then you don't have to be accurate. You can just like make a loose estimate. And then be mafrish truma only on the seeds. But don't worry about the pod and the stalks. That's not important. Because the Rabbanan weren't mechayev. Now, this Mishnah, I think, is a proof to Abaye. Why? Because, I mean, the Mishnah would be going even a little bit to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says over there that when it comes to Dagon, that's not considered to be Dagon, and therefore it's not Tevel. And nonetheless, over here, it is considered to be Tevel. So I didn't understand where Baruch Avram was just showing us the Digon issues, and now all of a sudden he decided to show us his sunglasses issues, which is not what the sugya is about here, especially when we don't want you looking at the screen while you're driving, even if you are driving through an open field, okay? Anyway, so the question over here would be, there we go, our Dagon problem. I can see Ira looking very expectantly. Now, when am I going to start doing that, some of that stuff? Why only olives? Okay. Anyway, so if it's going Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda as well, because he said before that if it's talking about Dagon, it's not a problem, he seems to agree that over here, when it comes to the fenugreek, which is a type of kidneyot, that they are tevel, even though they were just bundled and they were never made into a creek. So Abaya seems to be correct. Says the Gemara, I mean, you can't prove it's going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It may be that this is true only according to Rabbi, but maybe the same way that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dagon is not Dagon until it's completed in a creek, maybe that's true over here too? No. How could it be Rabbi? If it's Rabbi, why would we be talking about Tiltan? I mean, the truth is, according to Rebbe, this is true even about Dagon, right? Because Rebbe said, look, if this is your intent to package it at this stage, so then that becomes the time to take off Truma. So it would be ridiculous for the Mishnah to focus on fenugreek when it could have been talking about a much bigger Kiddush. Even packaged wheat would be enough to be Mechayev you, despite the fact that it's raw shibolim. So it can't be Rebbe. It must be that this is the only case, and therefore it would be Rebbe Yezir Rebbe Yehuda. Excuse me. And according to you, you don't have to explain why we're talking about fenugreek. Let's say we're talking, what are you going to say? You're going to say, must be Rebbe Yezir Rebbe Yehuda, and that explains what? That explains fenugreek. It only explains kidney oat as opposed to Dagon. Why would we choose a crazy example of Tiltan? So anyway, you're going to have to explain what's unique about Tiltan, which means a charmine kidney oat. Talk to me about full beans. Talk to me about whatever you want. What do we got to start talking about? Tiltan? I mean, kosher cane, Tiltan. Tiltan for sure, I would say, because, I mean, other type of things, beans and peas, they can be actually mass-produced and you could make a kri out of them. So over there would be a bigger kiddush. If a bio is right, tell me any type of kidneys, if you packaged it, bundled it, you would be chayav. What are you talking about, kidney fenugreek? Nobody does fenugreek in big piles and so on. So then for sure the fenugreek would have been included. Must be, therefore, that the reason that we're talking about fenugreek is because the point over here of talking about that was to teach me that even though there is the taste of the fenugreek in the hardened wooden parts, that I do not have to take off trumas and maizes from that part. So fine. Kamashmona, you don't. That's why it talks about fenugreek, but you can't use that as a raya. Actually, ikiri amri. Others say that Abaya said just the opposite. Omar Abaya machloket b'shibolim, avo b'kitnios, everybody agrees that Asuraita is not going to create tevel. So even Rebbe, who says that it would be considered to be a chiyuv of Truma when it comes to Dagon, agrees that that's not true about the other kidneyot. Meitvei, so then according to this, what we originally had brought as a riot abaya now becomes a kashan abaya, because in the Mishnah it says that if you had bundles of fenugreek, then what you do is you crush them up and you figure how much seeds do they have, and then you take out only on the seeds, the truma. You don't have to take out on the hardened parts, and therefore this makes no sense, because the pashtus is, when it says over here that you have to take off truma, it says it's tevel, it means tevel to take off truma, right? So my love, tevel tavosho truma. So it's talking about a regular guy who's not, he's not a levi, he's not a kohen, a regular guy, he's got a field, he goes ahead and he does this with the fenugreek, and it's saying that now he has to take off truma. And you said that when it comes to kidney asabaya, you don't have to take off truma until you actually form it into a pile. How do you explain that? And Abaya says, no, we're not talking about a Yisrael at all. We're talking about a levi. Now, before we get to this piece, let me remind you, we've had this sugya many, many times before. Remember that it says in the Torah, Meleatcha v'dimacha al te'acher, which means that you are not allowed to take off Meiser before Truma. You're not allowed to be Magdim any later matana to a matana that was meant to be given earlier. Now, what would happen if a Levi would go down to a field before the time that it became Daga? So now he says, okay, look, I need something to eat. I want to take my Meiser now. You're not Chayev and Truma yet, so I'm going to take the Meiser before we're Chayev and Truma. So the truth is, the Yisrael was not allowed to do that because you're still taking off Meiser before Truma. And the Levi who took his Meiser, I mean, he wasn't doing the Yisr, but he certainly was a bad boy because he was Goren, the owner, to do things wrong. He wasn't supposed to take off Meiser. Okay, but the guy took off Meiser, gave it to the Levi. Now, remember we had that pasuk that we darshaned many, many times, that the idea of a Levi who's chayev to take off Trumas Meiser, in the event that he got the Dagon before it was even chayev in Truma Gedela, so then the Torah says beferish that you should take off the Trumatchem Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser. From there we learned only Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser, meaning you only have to take off Trumat Ma'aser, you do not have to take off Truma since the time that you got it. The Levi is not chayev in Truma Gedola. He's only chayev in Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser. That gives us an option. The option is this. Instead of talking about a case where you and me would be chayev to take off Truma, this is not that case. What it's talking about over here, says the Gemara, may very well be a case where a Levi, he already took this as Meiser. Now, once he took it as Meiser, he became chayev in Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser as Trumat Ma'aser, right? Even though it wasn't Idgan. Because the Trumat Ma'aser is chal once something is called Ma'aser. You see the chap? That gives us an option to talk about a case where you would be chayev without Idgan according to everybody. So it's beautiful, because then we don't have to worry about the whole idea. You're going to be chayev to take off Truma if you're a Levi who took off, who accepted something as Meiser, because you're still chayev to take off Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser. Therefore, says the Gemara, when you said that we're talking about Tevel Tovel Shel Truma, no, you jumped to a conclusion. We were talking about Tevel Tovel of a Levi for purposes of Truma's Meiser, not of your Truma Gedola. And this would be going like Rabbi Aboam, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, because remember, this was the case we had so many times before. Domer Rabbi Aboam, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, if a Levi goes and he takes Maaser Rishon, that was Higdimo b'Shibolim, while the grain was still raw grain in its ears, and it wasn't Chayav yet in Truma, the very fact that he gave it the name, I do dub thee Maaser, if I dub thee Maaser, then that Maaser is Chayav in Maaser min ha-Ma'aser, which is Trumat Maaser. It's a beautiful explanation. Shmo, the very name Maaser, makes it Tevel to be Mechayav you in Trumat Maaser. Wait a second. We're talking about a Levi? So what do you mean the Levi has to pound it first, the fenugreek, and then he has to figure an amount of seeds? Well, it's none of his business to pound it. I mean, I understand if you are the Yisrael, then you're going to have to give to the Kohen only the part, obviously, that you're chayev. But, I mean, in this case, you're not the Yisrael, you're the Levi. So the Levi should tell the Kohen, listen here, Barnea, you know, I got it as just stocks, hard. I'm not going to sit here and do your dirty work for you, pounding it in order to get the seeds out. You can do that yourself. I'm going to give you one-tenth of the whole mess. Now you go take care of it. What? I mean, I'm not mechuyev to get it to a stage at which it's chayev v'truma because you said, Shmo Tovlo, so this is the Meiser I got. Here is the 10% of the Meiser I got. Thank you very much. Do whatever you want.
I'm crushed.
So why in the world would he need to crush it? Amar Rava, no, that he doesn't really need to crush it in terms of the Din of Trumas Meiser. He needs to crush it because of a knas. The Rabbanan said, listen here, you bad boy Levi, you should never have done that. You should never have accepted that Meiser, because you are the reason that that guy who gave you the Meiser was over on an Issa D'Oraisa, Melei Atchavadim Achal Ta'acher, correct? So because of that, we're not going to let you get away with something that otherwise you would not be able to get away with. And in the same way as initially, in order to be able to give truma, it would need to be katush, then you're going to have to do the katisha. You can't tell the kohen, you do what you want with it. Okay, but that's a side point. Tanya nami archi ben levi shenotnu lo shibolim b'masrot of ozotam goren. First, he has to make the goren, meaning he has to completely finish whatever needs to be done. That's how you make a goren. Why does he have to finish it? Because of this kenatz. So let's say they gave him raw grapes, turn it into wine. They gave him olives, turn it into oil. Then you can take off your trumat maaser, and then you give it to the kohen as a completed normal truma, the way he would have gotten it if someone would have given him normal truma. Shekeshem shetruma gedola. Ain't any tell it. In the same way, if you're taking off truma gedola, you can only take it, as it says in the Torah, from Goren and Yekev, because that's the Dagon Tirosh v'Yitzhar. So it has to be completely completed. So too, if you're taking off Trumat Maaser, Ein Ani Telet, Ela Min HaGoren, Umin HaYekev. So because of that, you have to always make sure that your Trumas Maaser is done properly. Okay, now, this makes no sense. Why? Because, look at the word that you use. When you take off Trumat Maaser, how do you take off Trumat Maaser? When you take off Maaser, don't you have to give off 10%? You don't make estimates, right? So when you take 10% of the 10%, which is the Trumat Maaser, you need to give Maaser Min HaMaaser. What do you mean estimate? You can't estimate. If we were talking about Truma Gedola, then you can make an estimate. Why? Because Truma Gedola doesn't really have a shear. Remember, the slightest amount that you give for Truma Gedola, Midi Raisa, is perfectly enough. It's the Rabbanan who said, look, there's a wide stretch. You give somewhere between 1/40th, you know, if you're a really good guy, or 1/60th if you're a cheapo. Okay, so Lamaisa, does it really matter to have an exact understanding of what you're giving? Berach, just give Berach. So if we were talking about Truma the way we thought, then it makes perfectly good sense to say, and then estimate how many seeds there are. But if you're talking about Trumat Maaser, how can you say Mechashev? If you're talking about Trumat Maaser, you need to measure it precisely and take off the Maaser Min HaMaaser. Says the Gemara. This, remember when they put somebody new in charge of the Shabak, you know, they always just give him an initial, right? Mr. Olive, Mr. Tzadi. Well, this is from Abba Elazar ben Gimel. His father must have been in charge of the Shabak. And so, basically, this Mishnah is going to Abba Elazar, the son of Gimel. The Tanya, I mean, remember, we had Ben-Hei-Hei, you know? Ben-Hei-Hei became Ben-Bag-Bag because Beis Gimel, as Tavza says, is actually equal to Hei. This may be the Gimel. Anyway, so I finally got a little bit of a hint of a smile from my two toughest customers, Ira and La. Can you imagine all at one time? This is a day of true victory for me. Okay.
That calls for a drink.
So Abba Elazar ben Gimel, let me tell you something. I mean, during Aseret Metshuva, if a person wants to know Emes Hadin, he has to sit and say Daf Yomi to Ira and to La. So now, Abba Elazar ben Gimel, Omer, a big Kiddush, that namely, since it says, V'nechshav lachem trumatchem, what do you mean trumatchem? This is referring to the din of the Trumas Maaser. So it says over there to the Levi, V'nechshav lachem trumatchem, kidagan min hagoren, v'chamlia min hayakev, that when you take off your truma and give it to the Kohen, it's the same as the Truma Gedola, and it's a trumatchem. So there's two trumot over here. There's the truma that we're talking about, which is the Trumas Maaser, and then there's the full truma, achas truma gedola, v'achat trumat maaser. So it's telling me it should have the same dinim as the Truma Gedola. In which case, in the same way that Truma Gedola can be nitelet ba'omed, you can just make a general estimate how much you have to give. And furthermore, it can be given b'machshava. Now, this is a little misleading because the way we know that you don't even have to articulate and you certainly don't have to physically separate the truma out is really the other way around. We learn that out from Trumat Maaser because over there it says v'nechshav lachem. Nechshav means it's enough if you just thought about it. That would be sufficient for us to make that distinction. But okay, we're just saying that they all have the same dinim. We're not saying necessarily that we learn it out of the Truma Gedola. So in the same way Truma Gedola can be taken off by Omen, it can be taken off by a mental process, not necessarily a physical process. Kach Trumat Maaser is the same thing. You could take it off just by estimating. You could take it off mentally, and that would be perfectly okay. So according to that, the approximation is indeed mutter on Trumat Maaser. And we'll see in a moment why then does it say ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. We're going to understand that in a moment. But the idea is that it would make perfectly good sense if we would understand this Mishnah. It's not even referring to truma. So then the whole issue falls apart because we're talking about over here a totally different kind of truma, trumat ma'aser. Gufa, getting back to the original pasuk, just we're going to go through it again. We've gone through it so many times. That Omar, Rebbe Abo, Omar, Shimon ben Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibolim. So the idea over there is Shemot of Lola Trumat Maaser, we said. And why is that? Omar Rava, because once the Shem Maaser was Kavua on it, that means it's Chayav and Trumat Maaser. There's nothing else you need to know. And the marker for all of this is Omar Reb Shimon ben Lakish. If you took off Maaser all the way back at the early stage in the Shibolim before it ever became Chayav in Truma Gedola, then you would never have to take off Truma Gedola from it as the Levi. You would only have to take off Trumat Maaser. Why? Because we have this strange pasuk that says, Vahare motem mimenu Trumat Hashem Maaser ben Maaser. Take off the full Trumat Hashem, which is one-tenth of one-tenth. Well, that's not true. I mean, don't I have to also take off Truma Gedola, which adds another little bit to it? So apparently, the pasuk is telling me, no, there's times where you only need to take off Maaser min Maaser and no more than that. So that means only the Trumat Maaser, which is Maaser min Maaser, that's what I'm telling you, Mr. Levi, you got to give. But you do not have to worry about the Truma Gedola that you were mocked into. The low Truma Gedola, the Trumat Maaser min Maaser, you don't have to take off both of them. So then, Omar Le Rav Papa Labayas, we've seen many times again, so Rav Papa says, so why do you say there are times? How do you know that it's not always like this? Maybe this should be true even if you took off Maaser after the stage of Digur. Why did we say that it's only if you went driving with Baruch Avram this morning, come down to then find it still in the Shibolim? It could be even if it was already after the Digur. Omar Lei, I'll tell you why, Rav Papa, because the Torah knew there was going to be somebody like you who was going to ask that question. Alecha amakon, it was for you that the Torah added the pasuk. Mikol matnotechem tarimu et kol shumat Hashem. And whenever you're going to be taking off your matonis, you have to take off every different type of truma. Truma gedala, truma smais, it was a stira. So at one point, the Torah is telling me only take off a tenth of a tenth. And at another time, the Torah is telling me, no, you have to actually take off everything. How do you explain that? Must be that one is talking about at the point where it was already Idgun, and one was talking about the point prior to the Idgun. So how do you know which one is which? Mara Ita. Maybe it's B'chayev the Levi who went down early to take off both, and afterwards he only has to take off one. No, the difference is, Ha'idgun v'haylo Idgun. It makes sense. Once it was in a state of Dagon, at that point it's Chayev. And that's why we understand that it must be Higdimo b'shibolim, even though the Torah doesn't say Kferich is b'shibolim, but it makes sense that if we have that contradiction, that's the way that we should understand the contradiction. Now, the question is there a relationship to the idea of Gmar Malacha by Maaser to the question of what constitutes a Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because Malacha, Malacha ought to mean something similar, right? So it's the Gemar Malacha that's b'chayev you in Trumas and Maaseres, and it's a full Malacha that's b'chayev you in Malacha Shabbos. Are they actually the same? So if you take a look at the Mishnah in Maaserot, it says that if you want to peel off, remember there's pearl barley where you could peel off the outside layer of the endosperm, of the barley. So you're mekalef se'orim. Suppose you want to peel off these barley kernels, and you want to just eat them. You want to eat them raw. So what you could do is mekalef achat achat v'ochel. You could take them one at a time and eat them. But if you take off more than that, im kalaf v'natad l'toch yadon, the Yerushalmi actually says more than two. But, okay, it's not, there's a machlokas whether the Bavli agrees with that, it's just using the Lashon simply. But anyway, if you did more than that, so then you would be chayev already in Maaser before you would eat them. And if you're eating them one by one, so basically at that point, you're just taking an achilas harai, then the Rabbanu would have a chayev. Even more than that is considered to be that you're actually have real food over here. And that's considered to be a Gemar Malacha. Omar Rabbi Elazar, v'chein l'Shabbat. This would be true about Shabbos. What does it have to do with Shabbos? It has everything to do with Shabbos. Because if you're taking off the chaff, and more than that, the upper layer of the barley, then that ought to be a tolda of disha. Because whenever you, that's exactly what disha is. That would be threshing. So then you're doing a disha. So for Shabbos, it's also true. If you're just doing something one at a time, you're going to eat it. That's like derech achila, and that's not the derech that you would normally do for disha. So it's kila achri yad. But if you would do it as a collection, so then you did the malacha and you'd be chayim. What? But what about Rav? Rav's wife used to do this, and he used to like a snack on barley. And Rav's wife actually gave him cupfuls of this stuff. She would prepare it on Shabbos, and she would, and he allowed it. I mean, so what about the fact that this is an Issur D'Oraisa? See, we've got all kinds of conveyances here, airplanes and cars and tractors, and oh my gosh, look at this. So the Rebbe goes on a plane, and the Gabbai goes by foot. What's the pshat? Have a safe flight. Anyway, it's good you're able to do the daf yomi on the plane. Okay, wonderful. So now, if Rav allowed his wife to do it, so how could Rebbe Elazar say you're chayev on an issur d'oraisa? That's crazy. So that can't be true. Rebbe also, his wife also used to make him cupfuls of this stuff, and he would chew on it on Shabbos. Therefore, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. You must have said something else. What Rebbe Elazar said was not going on the Reish, it was going on the Seif of the Mishnah, which over there, it says, if you're molel melilot shel chitim, and you are going to be eating these melilas, so you have a mixture of the chaff and the grain. How can you do the nipuach? How can you do the equivalent of zoreh to get rid of the chaff so that you'll be able to eat it without worrying all the time about little pieces of dirt in your mouth? So what you can do is, you can be minapeach al-yad. Now, there's a question of the girsa over here, whether it's al-yad means a tiny bit at a time. The other girsa is miyad liyad. Miyad liyad means that what you can do is, you can take it from one hand, throw it down into the other hand, and meanwhile, you lose a lot of the very loose chaff. So that would be one approach. And the other approach is that over here, the Gemara over here says minapeach. Minapeach seems to mean that you can actually, it's mutter to blow on it, which is really much more similar to the melacha of Zoreh, where you use a fan or you use natural wind to separate it by blowing on it. The problem is that in the Mishnah, it doesn't say minapeach. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. In the Mishnah, it says minapeh, which is mashma that you're just actually letting it drop, but you can't actually blow on it. Okay, in the Gemara, it's mashma, you can literally blow on it, or you could use your hand, would be the other approach, minapeach. Biyad would mean that you wave your hand on it to create a little wind, and that blows the chaff away. So the gersot are a little bit confusing over here. But if you blew on it or used your hand to create this wind, and you did more than one at a time, and instead you put it into your lap, so then you would be chayav in maisras. And about that, Rabbi Elazar said, now that, if you do that on Shabbos, to be bidapeach enough, then if you're going to collect it, then it's derech zora. So then you would be chayav. Okay, that's not what the wives did for Rav and Rav Chia. This is a different issue. They just prepared that you could peel it, but not that you would be zora. Fine. All right, so then that means you'd have to take off maaser, and the din l'gabei Shabbos would be different, and for some reason you wouldn't be chayav, because we said that l'gabei Shabbos, you're allowed to do a lot of the stuff together, even though l'gabei maaser, if you do more than two, according to Yerushalmi, maybe more than one, then it would be considered to be chayav a maaser. So that means we have a different standard. What's called the Gemar Malachim for maaser? What's called the Malachim for Shabbos? Maskev l'Rabba Abba bar Mamal. I mean, why are we saying that it's only true to be goymer the malacha for maaser and not for Shabbos? I mean, isn't it the same thing? Mi ika midi dilein Shabbat lo avigmar malacha lo maaser avigmar malacha. I mean, is it considered to be a real gmar malacha if it's irrelevant for Shabbos, and yet you're telling me it's the way that you would complete for the grain? That doesn't make sense. It ought to be the same thing. That's koveya the hashlama of the grain. Where the heck do you get that from? There's no connection conceptually between the two at all. The low? What, you're telling me there's not a lot of issues that would be a Gmar Malacha vis-a-vis Meiser and be completely irrelevant as the Gmar Malacha for Shabbos? But what about the general Goren for Maaser? It says in the Mishnah, what is the Goren for Maaser? Ezeo Goren, none of Maaser. Now, this is talking about the Goren of things that don't really have a Goren. Remember, the word for Goren is a word that is borrowed from the concept of grain. But we use that as the completion to be Mechayev for all types of things. So there it starts talking about different types of fruits and different types of vegetables that would have a Goren. And it says over there, what's considered to be a Goren? So if you've got cucumbers, if you've got pumpkins, so over there it's Mishi Yefaksu. The faksu is that blossom that they have on it. When that falls off, it's considered to be high of a mice. And if it didn't, they didn't fall off. So when you pile them up in a pile, now this means you bring a bunch of pumpkins into your house, right? You pile them up in a pile, and that is considered to be a gemar malacha agabi mice. The same thing we had, the idea we had about bitzalim. So it says over there, Mishi Yamid Arima. You bring in these onions, and now you make a pile in your house of the onions. You're not chayav on Shabbos for making a pile of onions in your house, for God's sake. I mean, the whole din on Shabbos of where you're making Arima, that has to do with out in the field. It has nothing to do with making piles. So obviously what determines a Gemar Malacha for Shabbos is irrelevant when it comes. For Maaser, it's irrelevant. So Alamai Yisvach Labema. When it comes to Shabbos, Melechet Machshevet Asra Torah. The Torah said it has to be something that is done with a lot of Machshava, that it's part of a very uman way, it's a professional, it's a fully developed way of completing things. So fine, the same thing would be true. Over here, you're talking about peeling off barley. For Meiser, that's fine. You can't call that a Melechet Machshevet. That's something that's so chashev that it's going to be considered to be that it requires the full scale of human creativity. What does that have to do with Shabbos? This is melacha, but it's melacha for grain, but it's not melacha's machshavas. Now, when we said that you're allowed to do melilas, how exactly are you allowed to be molel? I mean, probably things should be done, because as we'll see later on, we take for granted that we do things in a way that is not an uvda dechol. It's not the way that we do things usually during the week, and therefore, what shinui would you make? So, Abaye Mishmeid Rav Yosef Omar, what you do is you use your thumb against one finger, and you rub it between the thumb and the finger. Rav Avya Mishmeid Rav Yosef, you can even use your thumb against two fingers. Rava says, oh, come on, whatever you're doing is completely different than what you normally do. You would normally put it between your two hands and you would rub it. I mean, this is like so weird that somebody would take grains and would put it between. Why does it matter how many fingers? I mean, use your finger, use your thumb against your whole hand if you want to. Afilu chadakula, none. And how about the nipuach? What exactly, how do you do that? So keitzad min afeach, what exactly is done to make it not as an uvda dechol? So here too, how much of a change do I need to do? It should be a shinui. Om revada bar ava, om arav, it means min apeach mikishrei etzvotav milamala. Don't use your palm. Use only the top from your knuckles, obviously on the other side, from the joint up. Don't use the palm. In Eretz Yisrael, when they heard this, these crazy bubble people, I mean, they get so hung up on things. I mean, like, what the heck is wrong with them? I mean, Kiva the Mishani, a guy is doing something in such a completely unusual way. Why in the world would he have to? And on top of that, make sure you don't use your palm. I mean, you know, you can really get into a lot of these crazy halachas. It's ridiculous. Once you're being Mishana, use your whole palm. Ela Amar Rebbe Elazar. On the contrary, says Rebbe Elazar, you're right. You can use your entire hand, and you can use bikokocho, and that is that in terms of waving it. But don't use both hands, and don't use both hands to blow on. That's the way it would be normally done. So this would be considered to be a shinui.